Up next is Pete's Ponderings on RCR, Reality Check Radio. Pete's Ponderings is a selection of Pete's candid commentary on everyday issues for Kiwis, taken from his show, Afternoons. Listen to the live broadcast of Peter Williams' afternoon show at 1 p.m. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Welcome to Monday. I hope you had a great weekend. I have to say mine had its ups and downs. And my wife and I went to the rugby in Dunedin on Friday night. The Highlanders tried hard, but they're just not in the same class as the Chiefs. Anyway, it was a good night out. Then yesterday, both my wife and I thought it was Mother's Day. So we took my old mum, who's 92, out to lunch. It was lovely, except it wasn't Mother's Day. We couldn't figure out why the cafe, the restaurant, was so empty. Oh, well, we did the right thing. Just 7 days early, I think at her age, mum isn't too concerned. But in between the rugby and the early Mother's Day, we watched the coronation. I thought it was fantastic. The pageantry, the spectacle of the parades, the dignified brilliance of the choral music and the orchestra, the really cool gospel singers doing their Alleluia, and the outstanding soprano Priti Yende all beautifully complemented the centuries-old protocols of the coronation ceremony itself. Now, we started off watching on TV3 until they started playing Burger King commercials. That was just crass and tacky. So we went to TV1, and then they had their own people talking shite. So we went to the BBC News Channel feed on Sky. Frankly, we should have been there from the start. No interruptions, mature, informative commentary. It was just classy, a broadcast worthy of the occasion. Back to the coronation. And one of the processions that wasn't given much prominence in the coverage was that of the Orders of Chivalry and the Gallantry Award holders they processed down the Abbey not long before the King and Queen came in. It's a pity it didn't get much coverage because there were three New Zealanders taking part in that. Richie McCaw for the Order of New Zealand, Abdul Aziz Wahabzada with the New Zealand Cross after his bravery in the mosque attack, and Willie Apiata with the Victoria Cross. His real name, by the way, according to the order of service, is Bill Henry Apiata. You learn something every day. Richie processed just in front of Sebastian Coe, who was representing the Order of Companions of Honour. Now, I don't watch TV1 news, so I don't know if they covered it, but TV3 certainly didn't mention this in their reporting last night. Considering they were, I'm pretty sure, the only New Zealanders with a formal role in the ceremony inside the Abbey, I thought it should have been at least mentioned in news reports. It certainly would have been far more relevant than that unidentified, foul-mouthed young woman at a punk concert in Wellington who, when asked if she had a message for the King, said, "Oh, you mean the cuzzies that came and stole our effing land? I don't give an F about them." Just charming. Look, I get it that not everybody is a fan of the royals, but on a day where themes like dignity, history, continuity, and pageantry were the order of the day, frankly, an angry, expletive-riddled quote from a lowlife at a Wellington nightclub was, to say the least, inappropriate. But that's TV news for you. Now, a bit more on the coronation and its aftermath. The magnificent ceremony attracted its fair share of naysayers. Now, that's allowed. It's called expressing your opinion in a land where free speech should be encouraged. Lefties don't allow it, though, of course. In response, they only shout and abuse you. So I will be more dignified now. Therefore, to my one-time friend, Alison Moore, on Stuff, bemoaning the fact that the coronation cost £100 million in the middle of a cost-of-living crisis and an underperforming National Health Service, I should offer the riposte that the royal family itself and the economic spend around the coronation by people who come to London from all over the world are estimated to amount to, according to many reports, over £1 billion. Not bad for an investment of £100 million. For instance, top-end hotel bookings were up by more than 50% on the same time last year. If the Brits want to spend £100 million on a ceremony that hasn't been held for 70 years, then frankly, that is their business. I'm sure most of them feel better for the day. But back here, inevitably, that sad sack of a news site called Stuff had to roll out a constitutional lawyer to explain why we should become a republic. Then in the comments section came this, which debunked the lawyer's arguments in the best possible way. This is what somebody identified as Strident Polemic wrote, taking the mickey out of a mythical poll. A majority of New Zealanders say, let us become a republic. Greyland socialists say, that's a great idea. Let's elect President Helen Clark. National Party members say, if we must, appointing whoever is chairman of the Australian bank that currently makes the most profit in New Zealand is the way to go. Rural New Zealand say, screw you all, let's anoint Richie McCaw as president by popular proclamation. Māori's reaction is, bloody Pākehā, surely the Māori king is the logical choice. But then, a majority of New Zealanders, 6 months of bickering later, say, bugger it. Let's stick with Charles III. And you know, in 20 years from now, will anything have changed? I doubt it.
You're listening to Pete's Ponderings on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Time for some of your feedback now. This has come into inbox at realitycheck.radio or via text on 2057. This quote says on text, love your music, Peter. Don't listen to those young ones. They know nothing yet. Thank you, Jay. You're absolutely right. From Edward, he writes, I got a call today from the vaccination call centre promoting the flu jab. She stated that the jab was free and it was my choice. I said I never had one before, and when I did get sick, I just stayed home and recovered after a day or two. She agreed and said she'd never had the flu shot either and trusted her immune system to fight it. I said, yep, that's exactly what I rely on as well. I said, every year the flu appears, so what was the point of having a jab? She then stated that some needed it. I said, you trust your immune system. Isn't that enough to combat the flu? She laughed and agreed. So my next question was, qui bono? Who benefits from these jabs? She went silent and then laughed. I know what you mean, she said. We ended the conversation on friendly terms, and I declined the jab. I suppose she was just doing her job, but it begs the question, how often will we continue to hear that in the coming years, I was just doing my job, now that we know the statistics and the devastating effects the COVID-19 jab has had? Thank you for that, Ed. My text number, 2057, my address, inbox at realitycheck.radio. I have a suggestion for the Napier City Council. You see, they've got a problem because those lowlifes in the mongrel mob have painted a huge sign on a fence next to a council park. The sign just says mongrel mob. It's very visible to the public. It's the mongrel mob showing off its arrogance and its presence to vulnerable young people in a part of Napier that doesn't need, frankly, any more gang influence. It's at Fitzgerald Park Reserve in Marainui, which has basketball courts and a playground. The fence is apparently on private property, or so says a council spokesperson. I was always under the impression that a fence was the border between two properties. One side of the fence belongs to the property on that side. The other side of the fence belongs to the property on the other side. Pretty straightforward, I would have thought. But the council says the entire fence is on private property. Okay, but only a surveyor could confirm that. If that is the case, then Napier City Council, if it had any courage, would make some moves to block the sign. They could do that cheaply and quickly by putting a few stakes in the ground and nailing some plywood to them to block out the view. It would take a few hours and just a few $100s, but it would show that the Napier City Council don't like gangs and they don't like them advertising and spreading their influence on the city's youth, particularly in vulnerable areas. But Napier City Council says it won't be doing anything about this sign. They're just gutless, aren't they? Sometimes people are just way too precious, aren't they? A couple of Auckland Rotary Clubs held a debate the other day. It was a fun thing, a fundraiser probably. Time for a few laughs. The topic for the debate was something like, who was the better Prime Minister, Rob Muldoon or Jacinda Ardern? Frankly, in my experience, one was as bad as the other. Both were tyrannical, except he did it with a snarl as he blockaded economic growth through his intervention, and she with a yip-yip smile as the country has become more divided than at any time in my life. But back to this debate, this Rotary Club debate. The trophy for this annual event is a ship's toilet mounted on a wooden plinth. Now, yes, it's a strange trophy, but then Rotary Clubs can sometimes be strange organisations. Anyway, afterwards they took a picture of the debaters after the event with the trophy, and one of the contestants put a Jacinda Ardern mask on the toilet seat lid while a photo was taken. It was harmless fun because the team debating for Ardern had worn the masks during the show. But once the photo was published on social media, cue the outrage. The lovies went into meltdown about how disrespectful it was. St. Jacinda on a toilet seat. It's just terrible. I mean, what nonsense. Where has the country's sense of humour gone? And worst of all, the Rotary Club apologised. What a bunch of spineless wimps. Of course, if it was Muldoon's picture on the dunny lid, there wouldn't have been a problem. Those lefties just do your head in, don't they?
You're listening to Pete's Ponderings on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Another extraordinary example of how badly health and hospital services are working in the south of the country has emerged today. A Queenstown man named Hamish McPherson, he's 49, the father of two, he's had his melanoma spread into his liver, his stomach, and now his brain. He was told he needed to see an oncologist, but the waiting time in Dunedin to see the specialist, 5 to 7 weeks. So he went private. He spent some money he invested in his health. He had a scan. He was taken to Lakes Hospital and given unfunded drugs, which apparently had only a 35% chance of working, but they have worked. Hamish is out of hospital now and going well. But his drugs cost $5,500 a month, and he has immunotherapy coming up in 4 to 8 months' time, which he has to pay half of the $50,000 cost for. So he and his family are in the gun for over $200,000. They don't have it. People are supporting his Give a Little page, but he isn't back at work yet. But the question I ask is this: how come a case as urgent as this one wasn't prioritised to get up the list for treatment? He and his wife admit he'd possibly be dead by now if he hadn't gone private. And how come the drugs he took, which are called dabrafenib and trametinib, I think is how they're pronounced, how come they can't be funded by Pharmac? It looks like they work for some people, as in the case with Hamish. Now, we were told that one of the great advantages of this new centralised health system was the end of the postcode lottery. No matter where you live in New Zealand, they said, you would have equal access to top quality medical care. More than 2 years on, there is absolutely no evidence that is playing out. Frankly, the best advice for people in the south of the country is still, don't get sick. Yes, it is that bad. From correspondence which has come into inbox at realitycheck.radio or via text at 2057. This from Kat. Just a niggle, she writes, after some complimentary words. Just a niggle. I've twice heard Peter Williams do a bit of a yay for the National Party, which at least isn't the Reds, but we listeners have various opinions, not all of us favourable towards the Nats either. I know it's all about free speech, yay, but maybe Peter could push some other party lines too. Keep up the fantastic work. Thank you, Kat. I'm surprised that you thought I was giving a bit of a yay for the National Party, because frankly, I'm not a great fan of them. Certainly in education, I think their policies got some good points. And actually, later today, I'm going to be talking to the education spokesperson, Erica Stanford. We'll have that interview for you on Wednesday afternoon. It just so happens that she's in my neighbourhood in central Otago today. So I will be recording an interview with Erica for Wednesday afternoon. But in terms of my political affiliations, I didn't vote National last time. I'm happy enough to say in public, and went further to the right and voted ACT. So I'm not completely a National supporter at all. I'll just leave that with you. But thank you, Kat, for your correspondence. This has come in from Mandy. She writes, I so agree with you about vitamin C. It was also amazing with measles. I'd love you to talk with Edwin Tamasisi. He can explain what happened with the Samoa measles outbreak. You won't believe he was saving the children with vitamin C. The hospital was killing the kids with medicine. Those children should never have died of measles. Thanks for the work you do. You are all amazing and give us so much hope and joy that there are lots of us out there. Thank you for that, Mandy. And a quick one here from Mary in response to some music we played on Friday. The track was Romeo's Tune. And Mary writes, OMG, oh my God, this was my absolute favourite song in 1980 when I started my nursing training at Wellington Hospital. I used to call up and make requests for it. Glad we could play it for you again, Mary.
You're listening to Pete's Ponderings on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Here on RCR, a little bit of business news for you now. 3 years ago, the guru of investing, the man they call the Sage of Omaha, Warren Buffett, said Apple was, quote, probably the best company in the world. A couple of days ago, he amended that. He dropped the word probably. His company, Berkshire Hathaway, started buying Apple shares in 2016. A bit late to the party, you might think. Well, maybe. But Berkshire Hathaway now owns 5.6% of Apple, which on Saturday was worth $116 billion. And then Apple reported its revenue for the first 3 months of the year, just under $95 billion. That was actually down a bit on a year ago, but this is the key. iPhone revenue was up 2% as the whole smartphone industry contracted 15%. In other words, we're buying fewer smartphones these days, but when we do, we're more likely to be buying Apple. On the strength of that, the Apple share price went up 4%. Now, considering the first iPhones only came on the market, what, 16 years ago, 2007? Is there a product, has there been a product in our lifetimes which has made such fundamental changes to the way we live? I don't know about you, but my phone is what, my watch, my camera, my newspaper, my radio, and God knows what else. All in my pocket. Maybe you're listening to RCR on your iPhone right now. No wonder the market value of Apple is now over $3 trillion. That's 10 times the size of the entire New Zealand economy. But the great news is that we can all share in the Apple story too. If you've got a KiwiSaver account, it's almost certain that that account will have a bit of Apple action. If it doesn't, well, then your fund manager doesn't know what they're doing. It's hard to disagree with what Warren Buffett says, isn't it? Apple, it's got to be the best company in the world. What an absolutely disgraceful and disgusting incident at Mount Roskill Grammar School in Auckland a few days ago. A young man whose family are immigrants from Syria was beaten at school in an unprovoked attack. He had to go to hospital and, not surprisingly, is still traumatised. But here's the disgraceful thing. The school, according to reports, did nothing to help the boy. They didn't even call an ambulance. The boy's brother had to do that. The school haven't called the police. They were not proactive after the incident. The chair of the Board of Trustees has had no comment to make. What is going on in our schools? What is going on in our communities? Now, Mount Roskill is a veritable United Nations of a suburb. The school has kids from many, many ethnic backgrounds. It's been like that for years. In days gone by, I used to know a few kids from Mount Roskill Grammar because they played golf up at Akarana when I was a member there. Was that the best part of 20 years or so ago? And I used to marvel at how well the Korean and the Pakistani and the Maori and the Pakeha kids used to get on at the golf club and have good fun playing golf and hanging out together. I thought, that's the future of New Zealand. All sorts of ethnicities as kids becoming New Zealanders together as adults. But in these days of an identity-driven society, that's not happening. Racism and discrimination incidents are skyrocketing, and nobody is prepared to stand up and do anything about it. Mount Roskill Grammar, frankly, should be ashamed, but I don't think it is. Nothing much will happen here, and that means this sort of thing will happen again and again and again.
You've been listening to Pete's Ponderings on RCR, Reality Check Radio. Remember, you can catch Pete's full show combining smooth sounds and candid commentary on everyday issues for Kiwis and the Peter Williams Afternoon Show on our live broadcasts, 1 p.m. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.